Thanks, Lord. So good. We had a men's meeting on Friday as well, and we fed the people down at Soup Kitchen on Wednesday. The team doing good stuff. I had a good report this week. Thanks for doing that. Men's meeting on Friday night was delightful. Our speaker was, did he go away? Stefan was our speaker. He's gone now, probably downstairs with the kids. But Stefan did a wonderful job. And then we had a breakfast the next day, yesterday morning. And for the second time running, there was extra bacon. I didn't think that could happen with men's meetings, but it did twice. So the miracles continue. Yeah. All it means is that you were supposed to be there, somebody who likes bacon, and you didn't arrive. So, but good stuff. Good stuff. We're moving along now. You know, the new day is here, and we're moving ahead. And I really think that good things are coming. I believe that with everything in me. I had a word at the beginning of the year. God said, when the winds come, stand. And I think that I have a sense that we're past that standing time now. We're actually moving now. And so it's a good thing. Bless the Lord. Does anybody know what October 31st is? Payday. That one works for me. Yeah. You got it, Bruce. It's Reformation Day. Before it was Halloween. No, actually, you know, Halloween came out of the Druids, and that was before all that stuff. So anyway, October 31st, 1517, 500 years ago, Martin Luther hammered onto the church. It was a castle church door, they think. They're not even sure, you know. But a castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. His 95 thesis that is acknowledged as the start of the Reformation of the church.
Praise God.
At that time, they thought the church needed reformation, reforming the church, right? And they called the people that were protesting against the church Protestants, Protestants. And we carry that name today. We're the Protestant church. Anybody that's not Roman Catholic or Orthodox Catholic, you know. Ringing a little bit here. So we celebrate that. You know, like this year is also the 100th anniversary of the United States joining World War I, 1917. That was celebrated very almost discreetly, so quietly that we hardly remember it. It's in the movies? Okay. Yeah. But celebrations are in us. We want to do that. It's just worth celebrating. Well, 500 years of the church moving in a direction that I think has been directed by God. Different people have different opinions of it, but I want to just spend a little time on what Martin Luther was talking about, why he was interested, and why it is important to us. Because without that, without, I think, God moving on the hearts of some individuals, we could still be under one leader. In Italy, they call him the Papa. The Pope. And if the Papa lives a good life, everybody goes to heaven. But not many papas have lived good lives, so I don't know who's going to heaven. So, you know, they've had their own indiscretions. They are people, just like everybody else. They're honored and venerated and lifted up, but they're just people. And so they have their frailties, just like you and I do. But 500 years ago, God was moving in the hearts of men all over the place. In Switzerland and in Germany and in Belgium and France and England, there were people that were getting this idea that there was something else, something that was important in the kingdom of God, and they wanted to move toward that, wanted to move away from what the idea that everything had to come through Mother Church, and that Mother Church could say yay or nay to anything, and it had to be done. That only the priests understood what the Bible said and had to interpret it for you. Now, to a man, the people that were being stirred at the same time as Martin Luther all felt that it was important that people get to read the Word of God, and that people would have the Word of God in their own language, not just Latin, because that was the acceptable text at the time. And it was, you know, it had to be God's Spirit moving, because it just caught fire. And one by one by one by one by one, it just started to spread all over Europe. And then all over the world. It was it was delightful, you know. Out of it came the Moravians and the... Oh, just, I'm a... Yeah, well, that... I have an issue with Anglicans, but... Because it was designed so that somebody could get a divorce. And so he just kind of hitched his wagon to a train that was moving. I don't want to go there. I love history, and so it really excites me. Did you bring one for me, Con? What a guy! Thanks. No. '17. Martin Luther was a monk, but he was an academic. He was a theologian, Dr. Martin Luther. Brilliant man, but also a man who loved life. They say that the 11 o'clock service that most churches, most Protestant churches enjoy, the 11 o'clock service, was so that it was designed by Martin Luther so he could sleep as long as possible because he was drinking the night before and still have a one-hour service before noon. He had to have a mass before noon. It took about an hour to get through, and so 11 was it. And so he changed the time to 11 when, you know. So he's just a guy, and he's led by God, moved by God, lived a lot of his life running like David from Saul, running from Mother Church who wanted to kill him. Pope Leo wanted to. Do him in. And so he was in hiding. He had a powerful not a mentor, but you know, somebody that was overseeing him and protecting him, and so he would hide him away from the church and what the church wanted to do with him. Amazing guy. But he had no idea what would come out of what he was doing. Because at the same time, God, in his absolute wonder, you know, you see all of the things he puts together. The printing press just happened to be invented at the same time. And so the possibility of somebody interpreting the Bible or translating the Bible from Latin or the original into the language of the people, Martin Luther translated it into German, and Tyndale the English, and you know, it was all at the same kind of time, all within 100 years or so, and the printing press made such a difference. The American Revolution, they say, wouldn't have happened without the printing press, because they got information out quickly. Pamphlets and billboard things, and it just all was, and what a coincidence that it all came together. Do you think that was a coincidence, or do you think that it's a God incident? You know, like God ordained something that was absolutely mind-blowing at the time, because nobody could imagine somebody standing against the church and getting away with it. Lots of people had tried, but they ended up in ashes, literally, burned to death. That's what would happen then. And God took some people's ideas and his ideas in people and made something absolutely wonderful through it. And I am so... loving what happened. So the thing that kind of set him off, set Martin Luther off, was indulgences. And I'll explain that in just a minute. They're kind of get-out-of-jail-free cards. So he put together 95 points. It wasn't an essay. What he wanted to do was have an open discussion. Brilliant guy, just wanted to talk. So he wanted to talk with the church. That was his heart. It wasn't to throw a bomb into the church. It was just, let's talk. These are 95 things that I think we should talk about. And so he had 95 points, 95 talking points that he wanted to talk to them about. And it was printed on a printing press and put up on a door. But this thing that he had printed was a tract, and it was called the Disputation of Dr. Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us these days. So why on earth are we celebrating Martin Luther? Because the title doesn't even grab me, you know? How would that work on a billboard for a movie? Think people would line up for that? Yeah. Disputation of Dr. Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences. Luther said that if we split off from the church, then they were just talking about it early on. He said, it will start a domino effect, and there will be many splits after this. He saw that. Wow. And there have been, I don't know, thousands of splits, church splits, denominational splits, all kinds of stuff on our side. But Mother Church is still Mother Church. You know, so anyway. He's got to look at it all and wonder. So he put these 95 propositions up on this door. And the point of it wasn't, you know, in your face, church. The big wide church door was always made of wood, and it was usually around a square in the city. It was a focal point for the people of the city, and it would be like having a for sale sign or a garage sale sign, or you know, where am I going to put this? Well, we put them on telephone poles, or you put it at a laundromat or something like that. They would go to the church door and hammer it up there. So it was just a place where people would gather, and so he did this. He put it up on there, just hoping that he would get somebody to talk to him. Well, right away, Leo wanted to do him in, Pope Leo. Leo the 10th, Leo X. Anything like iPhone X? Coincidence, right? So he put these 95 theses up, and what a difference it made. Let me just tell you, to give you an idea what he was talking about. His first point was, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, poenitentiam agite, which is Latin for repent and do penance, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. That's his first point. Our whole life should be repentance. Why was that important to him? It was because the church, in an effort to fund the stuff that they were doing and to fund the clergy living a life that was opulent sometimes, they would sell these things called indulgences. Indulgences were if you committed a sin, you could buy an indulgence that would forgive your sin, guarantee you forgiveness of that sin right away. The worse the sin, of course, the higher the price for the indulgence. But it was a way of extracting funds from a guilty people, right? Wow. Indulgences also were used to get beloved family members out of purgatory. Purgatory is when you die and you have to do extra penance, extra time to become more holy so that you can enter heaven, right? That was their idea. So if you paid for an indulgence, you could get somebody out of purgatory quicker. They wouldn't have to be hundreds of years in that place. There was a popular jingle at the time that said, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Doesn't that just kind of hit you? I'm getting somebody out. And so this stuff was a way of building the coffers of the church. And Luther saw this as an abuse of the power that the church had to forgive sins. And so he was saying that our lives should be lived in repentance before God. Lived in a place of, oh God, I'm a sinner, I know that, and please help me, not well, I'm going to go sin and I'll just buy an indulgence and everything will be fine. Which is sort of the way the population was going. There was a real disregard for holiness amongst people that could afford it. The poor people were always holy because they couldn't afford a get out of jail free card, right? So they had to live their lives as best they could. But the ones that had a little extra money, you could do anything you wanted. And you get an indulgence, and you get out of jail free. Huh? And so, it's an amazing thing. I wanted to start with, Luther loved Romans. He has a commentary on Romans that people still use today. It's very good. Then I want to read from Romans 3. And verse 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. But by words of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at that present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is eluded. But what kind of law? By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Apart from works of the law. Amazing. Amazing. So, he came up with five solas, it's called. Sola, the Latin word for alone or only. Right? And you'll recognize some of them. Many traditions use only three solas, the first three that I'll read out to you. I'll spend just a little bit of time on some of these things, but they're so significant. The five solas are sola scriptura, right? Scripture alone. The Bible alone is our highest authority. Now, we all say, duh, of course. But today, still, much of the church holds on an equal level tradition of the church. So scripture plus tradition, right? But Luther was careful to say scripture only, because man is involved in tradition. Now, I think that God is able to get his will put forth through man and have it just kind of wash away with the stuff that's not of him. And, you know, he's that big. Like, the enemy, the accuser of the saints, the devil, whatever you want to call him, he wanted to kill the word as Jesus, but then that didn't work for him, as the Bible became the word, he wanted to kill that too. And he did his best to have every copy of the Bible destroyed. And that, through the centuries, was, one edict after another. They tried to destroy the Bible. How many people have Bibles here? They couldn't, because Jesus is bigger than all of that. He is just so big. So, tradition, yeah, I think it has some value, but I really can't put it on the level of Scripture. Scripture has to be my test. Scripture has to be our double check. Yeah. Something that does not line up with Scripture, we can't embrace. If it isn't an easy, clear unfolding of Scripture, then tradition must fall. And so things like Mary being a co-redemptrix, you know, like on the same level as Jesus, is coming out of tradition. But I don't think you can make a case for it in Scripture. They have to take some Scripture and kind of be not fair with it. Anyway, so the first one is sola scriptura. The second one is sola fide. Sola fide, F-I-D-E, means faith alone. Scripture alone, faith alone. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ only. We just read some magnificent stuff out of Romans about that. Sola fide. Then sola gratia, by grace only. Right? We are saved by the grace of God only. And there, that's... We cannot work our way to heaven. We still want to. We still want to. We want to, oh God, look at me, I'm working in soup kitchen, or I'm helping Dominic out in the back in the barbecue, or look at me, Jesus, I'm really working hard for you here. You know, like, doesn't that give me some points? No? It doesn't. You should want to do that as a maturing point, as a place where you want to express your faith and be involved in it, but we carry it to today where we want to be noticed by God and somehow, oh, Jesus, you got to watch me. You got to see me. I got to be able to work my way to you. It can't be any of that stuff. The word is clear. By grace, his grace alone. His grace alone is what will get us there. I cannot make it like all the other religions on earth, where I can work my way to heaven. The difference in ours is that heaven came to earth. And that's totally opposite of everything else. Where God came to us and became one of us, not like I have to become him. Not like I have to work my way and do good things to become noticed by God and approved by God. It's about him having paid the full price for my redemption, right? And so, one of the common questions in faith class in seminary is, how many of you are righteous? And typically, in a seminary, nobody puts up their hand. Yet the scripture is clear that he became my sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous because of Jesus. You are all righteous because of what Jesus accomplished. And it's a massive difference in the way we look at things. I'm righteous, but I have to live in this skin. And Jesus says, you are righteous because of my imputation, of my righteousness upon you. I took your sin. He who knew no sin, who had not sinned once, took all of our sin, became our sin, that we might become his righteousness. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. Like that. Every time I try to wrap my head around that, it's just too much. So the fourth sola is sola Christus, Christ alone.
Praise God.
Right? Jesus Christ alone is our Lord, Savior, and King. Does that mean throwing out the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No, not at all. But it's about Jesus and all that he accomplished. Martin Luther was a a renowned theologian. And he had a picture of other theologians and how they expressed theology, how they expressed, you know, just their understanding. Theo is God and logos is word, and, you know, you put it all together, theology. But how they expressed all of these different views of things. Martin Luther said, unless you contain the cross within what your argument is, unless you navigate the cross in your theology, you are not a theologian. Because you have to deal with the central issue of all of history. The cross changed everything. His death, burial, resurrection, you know? So big that he said, unless you deal with that, you are not a theologian. You're an expositor of some parts of the Bible, but you are not a theologian because you're missing what God had to do. And so good. Sola Christus. And then, Sole Deo Gloria. The fifth sola. Sole Deo Gloria. To the glory of God alone. We live for the glory of God alone. That's
thank you, Lord.
That's our purpose in being here. To be that light upon a hill so that others would know that they don't have to live in darkness. They don't have to live in poverty. And by poverty, I don't mean just not having anything in your pockets. That's that mentality of you can't get enough. You've got to hold on to everything you have. Everything, you know, everything's against you. And you can live a generous and free life because of Jesus. And he gets the glory for it all. And it's a wonderful, freeing attitude to look at him getting the glory. We live for his glory alone. Now that's opposite of the way the world would have us believe. That we have value and we have, you know, like you can see the absolute ridiculousness of that as it moves on through. Like we are the penultimate of everything. And so the way I feel is more important than anything else. So if I'm a child and I'm not having a good life, I need to go to talk to the counselor and talk to them about euthanasia because I need to end my life. What? Like, that stuff is ridiculous. And the transgender thing, the teaching all of that in school, it's the psychiatrists of America say that it's abuse. You're abusing your children when you're encouraging them to do that kind of stuff because the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We must look to Scripture. And so we give them whatever they want, and it will kill them. And that's, we might as well be serving Moloch, who wanted child sacrifices back in the day.
Jesus.
We are sacrificing our children to liberal ideas. I don't mean the political party. I mean, it's really gone too far in that fashion. It's about God's glory and not about us being the end of it all. It's all about me and my feelings. My feelings have changed hundreds of times over my life about all sorts of things.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Anyway, so the five solas. The first three are accepted by all Protestantism, you know, all the Protestant churches. Sola Scriptura, Sola Fide, and Sola Gratia. some have, just want to rework Solus Christus and Soli Deo Gloria, but I like all five. They work for me. Sola. So, we're just about there. What do you take from this? Take away the word only. Only. Only God. Only faith. Only Scripture. Only grace. Only. That's where we stand. It's all about God. Him moving through us, living through us, us in Him. It's wonderful what can be accomplished and achieved and the great life we can have through that. Absolutely free in so, so many areas. But it, only when we understand that it's all Him. Somebody else living a good life is not going to get me into heaven. If the Pope lives a good life, I still have to stand before the great white throne judgment. What did you do? Well, the answer is Jesus. Yeah, I got to get in. Jesus is the answer. It's got to be relationship with Jesus oriented. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only grace. Only faith. Just only. And it's a day worth celebrating. Masks and pumpkins aside, 500 years we've been moving in a direction of reformation. Do I think that the church needs reformation today? I do. I do. We need it as much as we needed it then because it's filled with us. But it put us on a path where we can read our Bibles alone, where the Holy Spirit can speak to us through that Scripture. Speak to us individually. It doesn't have to be interpreted by the guy at the front. And the guy at the front, whether he lives a good life or not, I can have relationship with God and live a life that is glorifying to Him. It's an amazingly freeing process and so exciting when we catch it. I think that 500 years is worth celebrating. I do. I'd have a birthday cake, but all the birthday cakes right now are shaped like pumpkins. There isn't any shaped like 95 theses on a on a door. Martin Luther was a man like every other man. We can whittle him down by his foibles and his mistakes, or we can celebrate that God moved through a man to change history. He moved through a regular man, just like any of us, and he can still do that. He's free to move through us. Martin Luther couldn't have seen what we have made of what he did. He didn't see a denomination named after him. He couldn't imagine that. He didn't see, most of the world moving away from Mother Church and having another form of church, because there are more of us than them these days. The Catholic Church is still God's, I think. So I don't want to say anything negative about it. I have some issues, but lots of people have issues with me. So it all works out. Jen, could you play something for us so we can just kind of celebrate? Martin Luther, he spent time in the tavern. It was different than our kind of pubs, but in lots of ways it wasn't. He would quaff his ale. It's a word you don't get to use very much, quaff. and he would take the songs that were popular. They didn't have jukeboxes, but songs that were popular that people would sing in the pubs and put scriptural words to it and make it popular in church. His most famous one is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and it's a powerful theological statement. But its original words were rowdy and very pub-like, and he took the melody or he took the tune and made it a hymn for the ages through God, and that's he took us and made us righteous for the ages. It's amazing stuff. It really is amazing. So let's worship him.